You're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Rachel Minion.
And I think we're going to have a really great conversation today. So Rachel, tell us, what is your hot take?
You are the biggest secret kept from all of your potential clients, and it's your own damn fault.
I cannot wait to have this conversation. I always tell people I don't hear these before we go live because I want to have a real reaction. And this is the conversation that we need to be having. You are the problem. So let's dig into it, Rachel. Why are they the problem? And is there anything we can do about it?
You know, it's really silly. Every client I have, every prospect I meet with, it's the same story. They go get these clients. They're hustling. They're going. They're doing all these deliverables for clients. They have the most incredible wins. And then they move on and go back to the grind, getting the next set of clients versus taking that win, celebrating it, writing the case study, getting the testimonial, getting a video testimonial, and using that to get your next sale.
Yeah. It's like we do all of this work. And I actually just had this conversation with a friend of mine who is running a business, particularly in consulting. And when you're like founder-led delivery when it comes to consulting, because you grind, kill yourself X number of hours a week to close a deal. And then you scoped it and you won the project and you signed on the dotted line, and then you have to deliver on everything that you promised. And there's no emotional bandwidth at that point because we've set it up to be no emotional bandwidth for me to be able to continuously sell. And he was just lamenting and trying to figure out, like, okay, is my dip because it was summer and everybody was off doing their own things? Is it the economy? Is it the fact that I was overwhelmed with projects, so I stopped trying to sell new projects? Like, what was the reason that I, you know, am in a lull now? And he and I kind of both agreed it was because he let his foot off the gas on selling because he was so overwhelmed with delivering.
It's this weird hustle cycle, right? And we're so good at the hustle as an entrepreneur. We're going from pushing, and then you go get all these new clients because you push so hard. Great, now we're on delivery and we get all that out the door. We don't celebrate the win. We pop next to prospecting, and it's this cycle that keeps going versus letting your wins sell for you and creating the authority that you need to make it really easy for the next sale.
One of the, I'm going to call it an excuse that I hear from people who are in any kind of service-based delivery motion, right? Whether you're doing management consulting, marketing consulting, whatever it is that they don't feel like they have permission to talk about the project because of whatever non-disclosure nonsense they signed at the beginning, which, you know, those are important and that's part of doing the work. So how do you balance this process with the things you're not allowed to say versus the things you want to say so you can get that next deal? And at what point do you start to broach that conversation with the client so that you can make sure you're not stuck in this endless loop of like, hey, can I do a case study? And then crickets.
We are all selling outcomes. So what does it take to be able to sell that outcome? Now, the case study that you need to write, it may not be able to name that client, but why not a Fortune 100 company? Here's our outcome. And really being able to nail that down, you don't have to do specifics, but if you say that you increase their revenue 42% year over year, state that fact. It doesn't have to be the exact dollar amount that it is. Give percentages. There's really creative ways around it because the bottom line is we all want to buy the outcome. Nobody wants to buy marketing. Nobody wants to buy consulting. They want an outcome. So go give it to them.
I also think too, I'm going through this right now where we just finished a project and it's most likely going to, hopefully, I'm fingers crossed that we're going to get to do it again next year. It's intended to be a recurring project. And I'm sitting down and writing down the lessons learned from my own side of it. This is my quote unquote case study, my research report of, okay, this is how I would do this differently. These are the things that I did to make it work. Here's what I would recommend for future iterations of this project, right? And I'm doing that to save myself time and stress and headache 12 months from now, because I know I'm not going to remember these things that I learned along the way. And it strikes me that maybe case studies are similar, right? We write case studies because a lot of times we write case studies because we are trying to get into that prospecting hustle cycle. And yet I bet that I don't remember nearly as much about that project and the interesting intricacies as when I was actually in the trenches on it.
We work with one of our clients who is not allowed to talk about the deals that he assists on. So you know what we do? Instead of him talking about the nuances of the deals, he does his own video case study recording where he talks about some of the challenges and the high-level facts of the challenge, because it's those same high-level challenges that every single one of your prospects has. So then we solved it. Client was happy. We had this outcome. It doesn't have to state all the specifics, but it has to be there and it has to be credible so that someone knows that you've already done this and you have the authority, because being the best kept secret is stupid.
I was thinking about back in the day when we were all much younger and maybe more open to sharing every thought we've ever had on the internet, right? In the same way that like the Gen Zers are, you know, putting every thought they've ever had on TikTok or wherever their platform of choice is. But I don't know if you remember, there was like LiveJournal and all of these different like blogging apps that were out there. And I'm so glad that that part of the internet managed to get deleted, because I don't even know what my MySpace would say, but I'm sure it was embarrassing. But it's almost like, can we get kind of that muscle built of like, as you're in the moment, as you're journaling, if you will, or posting on Reddit, or I think Tumblr was the one that a lot of people posted on back in my day. You know, we posted about these things in the live experiences and the real time experiences that we're having. So is that what you're recommending? Like, as you're doing this, collecting this insight and this experience in whatever medium you're able to do it? Or if someone's hearing this and they're thinking, okay, I really have done the feast and famine cycle too many times, I'm ready to move on, how can they start this process of making sure that they've got a plan in place to make sure that their current wins accelerate their future wins?
It's simple. It all comes down to process. So if you build in your process that you're going to do X on onboarding, so why aren't you doing Y at the middle and at the end of the engagement? And Y would simply be capturing the data, writing the high points, getting a quote from the client, even if you have to fully anonymize it. And that's okay. It could be top manager at this type of industry, top 40 company in electronics. And if we can do things like that and build it into the process, it's totally fixed. You know, your experience is a little bit different than mine. I'm a Gen Xer. We didn't have the internet to do these things. So us talking about ourselves is so freaking hard. We didn't put every thought out there. We just watched y'all do it. So when it comes to saying, oh my God, we just made this amazing thing, it takes a minute for the Gen Xer and the boomer to really say, okay, here's the frame that we have it in. Here's the outcome we created. And let's go in a way that isn't boasting. It's you make your client the hero of the entire story. You're not the hero. They are.
With, you know, when you think about all of the companies out there that are producing case studies, right? And there's a lot of people who are doing it. Are there any like secrets or hacks or things we can do to make sure that our case study feels particularly relevant, particularly useful, or maybe just something that stands out amongst the other, you know, PDF downloadables that we're seeing out there on the internet?
I think it has to be short, sweet, and to the point. People don't read anymore. Nobody cares. But you got to quickly walk them through the story of what the challenges are. You got to break down the outcomes. If there's metrics you can throw in there, phenomenal. A quote, even better. And now you have something that you can go out with. If you give 6 pages of a download, 3 people are going to download it and they're all going to put it in their folder and never see it again. But if you put out something that's really punchy on how they got from A to B, everyone wants to see, okay, what was the challenge? What did they get? It's the same thing as, like, think about when Biggest Loser came on, we loved it. Why? Because we were watching that full transformation. And even if you didn't watch the middle, you watched the first episode, you wanted to see the last episode and see that transformation. That's what we're looking for.
And especially too, like, I heard someone joke once that the, you know, they had 100 people download their case study and 75 of them were their competitors who were just kind of looking to see what they were doing. So there is a little bit of fear out there around, like, I can't tell a great story because what if my competitor sees it? So how do we get around that?
Well, if you are telling a great story, why would anybody believe you? And if your competitors are seeing how great you are, wonderful. Now they're going to have to step up their game. Shouldn't you step up your game as well? There's no way to continue to sell in this market if you aren't continually differentiating as to why you are the right person to work with instead of the guy down the street. What do we need to do to not only differentiate you, but give you the credibility and make sure that you are the authority on this subject? And that is showcasing your wins. And I'm not saying write a, you know, 16 web pages and these types of things on your case studies. Simple bullets. It's really easy. Something that they can scroll through and you just have it available. And if you're concerned about that you don't want to leak your client's name, that's okay. Figure out the right way to anonymize it, but tell the story.
Yeah.
You're not giving away your secret sauce. I mean, no one's going to go figure out what like the KFC secret recipe is. They're not going to figure out what your secret recipe is. We all have something that makes us so amazing in the world of consulting. It's just, you need to talk about it. You need to say what it is that makes you so much better on a regular basis.
And I'm kind of a firm believer too that like there is enough pie for all of us, right? There's enough of a blue ocean that we can all exist in the same space, whatever metaphor that you want to use, that the right clients, the ones that you actually enjoy working with and that bring you joy, will find you. And they will only find you if you're being true and authentic to yourself, if you're creating those stories and putting them out there and telling them, right? One of my best lead sources has come from doing this podcast and people who have heard this podcast. And I'll talk about client projects on here and I'll talk about things and they will actually say something to me about it. And it's totally anonymous. And I had someone once, I was in a prospecting call with them and they had heard the podcast. And I started to tell a story that I had told on the podcast before. And they actually finished the story on my behalf. It was the wildest experience. They were like, oh, yeah, you talked about this on the podcast and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yes. So my podcast has almost become unintentionally like case studies for the projects that I'm working on because I'm talking about them with my guests and with people that I'm working with. And it's been wild that people are actually listening. So I didn't do it on purpose. I'm still not doing it on purpose. Maybe I should. But does a case study have to be a PDF, or are there different ways to tell our story in different mediums? And how do we decide, if so, how do we decide where that story is best told?
So, girl, that comes from the world of pruning. I don't want anybody to ever make a PDF again. I don't want you to send out a PDF as a download. What's the point? We all download it. We save it to a folder. We never see it again. Why not make it some this cool living document that is searchable by Google and ChatGPT and everything else on your website? Then you can change it and update it as you keep growing, because you're going to find out 3 months from now that outcome went even higher than it did before.
Right.
And if we can do that and keep these things in a live environment, it makes it so much easier to consume.
And it gives us it's almost like a freedom to say something because you can take it back. You know what I mean? Like if you put a PDF out there and it's downloaded, your ability to change what you said is gone forever. Whereas like if you put it on your website and it's live files, yes, maybe someone read it 3 months ago, but you can add to it, change it. Like there's a little bit of protectionism in that and the ability to change things after we've already put them out there.
But I also like the ability to add links. So let's say we went through this process. You want to get the framework? Here, go here and get my lead magnet from it. Wonderful. Now you have ways to link in other pieces of content, bring them in what we call kind of the spider web world of your website, and make sure that they're getting to the right piece, because who comes to your site to just read a case study and book a call with you? Doesn't happen. They want to go read the next case study. They want to read your opinion on things. They want to read your thought leadership. They want to see more if they like you. If not, they're gone. But we should keep that customer journey in mind for everything that we do so we can give them that fuller experience.
You know, when you're thinking about putting together these case studies and doing it in a way that people connect with and resonate with, how do we decide where in the process does this start happening? Or is it different for everybody? Is it part of onboarding, something I bring up in onboarding? Is it something I only bring up when the project's going really well and the client likes me? Like, how do I know when to broach the concept of a case study, particularly for my business, and especially if I'm in consulting, where sometimes it can be a little bit hairy. Sometimes you're learning things about the company that maybe they don't want to know publicly.
I mean, let you know my little secret. I want every single client or every single prospect of mine to be my next case study. I want to go transform your business. And I want to talk about the success that we had together. When we start out a sales conversation in that path, you know, I'm just as committed to the outcome as you are, if not more.
Right. It puts us in the same boat, if you will. I once had someone ask me, like, how do we, so our role is we're a research company, right? So we come in and we provide outside third-party validation for some different initiatives that they're working on. We do voice of the customer, that kind of stuff. And I once had someone ask me, like, okay, how do I know that, you know, the advice that you're giving me is the advice that's the best? And I said, it's because my only outcome is your success. I'm not weighed down by your boss's opinion or your initiatives for next quarter, or who's going to get a job and get a promotion from this and who's maybe going to get fired from this. My only outcome is that you get the best outcome for your, whatever the goal of our study is. And I think that really surprised them in the moment, because they're so enmeshed in the politics of their organization and I'm not. And so that being that, like, almost like that freedom to tell the truth, which we don't always have inside of our organizations. And I think that makes a case study really compelling, because it's my perspective of the outcomes, but it also means that I have to tell a really good story along the way so that my case study is really good.
Well, and here's the thing. And even if we aren't necessarily getting a case study, when you want a client referral who says the same damn thing, they are so committed to the outcome, right, we would hire them again and again and again. And that's the story that I want somebody telling about me.
You know, what do you think is the biggest blind spot people have when trying to tell a story that benefits them, right? And make their customer the hero of that story?
I don't think they know how to make their customer the hero. We have been, like, we've grown up in a world where, for me at least, it was a choose your own adventure book, right? And you had that power. So turn to page 37 if you want to do this. Turn to page 81 if you want to do this. So you go down this path where I don't know if anybody was ever really the hero. And what's really hard to do is just get out of your own way and let the story evolve and let it. You can record all your discovery calls, right? If you're recording your discovery calls, hearing what those challenges are before you ever work together, it's there. It's in the recordings. Grab the transcript and spin that up. Now, the outcomes, it can get really tricky if your clients don't always share with you the data, right? So that's where we work. What do we need to do to capture the right elements right from the beginning? So now it doesn't become a choose your own adventure on, like, God, I hope we can go here, but wait, we're going to go here. But now we go to page 94. It's going to be really structured in what we do and how we do it, as well as the things that we do. There's systems around it and a process so that you know what you're looking for and everyone knows what you're looking for. So you can validate your outcomes, because nobody hires a company just to do work and not expect that they're going to get something for it or see an outcome or see some transformation. And in most cases, it's the craziest thing. Let's say a consultant, we ask them, so what did you actually do for your client? That is 100% different than what the client thinks that they did. All we want to do is talk about what the client thinks that they did. They may have two totally different perspectives. We only want to go with what the client thinks.
I wrote something down. I always tell guests that I take a bunch of notes on these. And it occurred to me that, think of, like, every book you've ever read in all of eternity. There is always a protagonist of the story. And could you imagine how many fiction books would flop if we just, like, didn't have a clearly, like, who was our protagonist, who was our main character in that moment? And if the author wasn't honest with themselves about, and the reader, about who that main character was, right? So when you're writing your case study, being really honest with who is going to be the main character of this story, is it going to be your client or is it going to be you? And, like, because I think that's a balance a lot of consultants miss, is they tell their story from the customer's perspective, but they fail to make the customer the main character because they want to be the main character. And I think if we're not honest with ourselves about who is the subject of the story, it's going to feel muddled and like something we don't actually want to put out there. But if we can step away and separate ourselves in the same way an author of our favorite fiction book does, then we might really be able to tell a great story that people want to read and share and be a part of.
And there's a really big difference in doing it in your language versus the customer language. If I had to go read a fiction book that's written only in the author's language, I have no idea what their internal dialogue is. I don't know what their internal processes are. I don't know anything about that, nor am I invested enough to care. So I want to see it from the perspective of the character. Let that character shine and in the language that they would use.
And, you know, as you're thinking about people that we should be listening to or paying attention to, and thinking about the people you know or aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
Well, you know, it's really funny. I fell in love with David Guillaume. He is an unbelievable guide in Kabbalah. And I don't care what your religious beliefs are. One of the things that he has taught is that in every situation, we need more light. And there is an infinite amount of light. And I think that knowing that and feeling that, absolutely one of the most amazing things in the world. And being able to provide light for somebody else, there is no better feeling.
And if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
You can find me at rachelminion.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. And you can find me at Rockstar and Moon.
And I understand that you have a special workshop coming up for people who maybe are hearing this podcast and are thinking to themselves, okay, I hear it. I hear the call. It's time to step up and do what it takes to get out of this feast and famine cycle. Tell us a little bit more about your upcoming opportunity.
So we have just launched the Profit Multiplier. Previously, over the last 5 years, we have been doing all this amazing work for our clients and getting them incredible results, including that we helped one of our clients get as much sales in one quarter as they did the entire year before. So rather than a continual done for you program, we're switching to a done with you program. We start with a 12-week intensive, and then for the rest of the year, we are there for accountability, training, looking at data, and helping you optimize in the right path. The Profit Multiplier was built for consultants who really want to go from, God, this is a job that I built myself into, and getting out of that hustle cycle and getting into more predictable, scalable growth.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the show today. This was a really interesting conversation. I hope everyone got as much out of it as I did.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.